Anyone who's walked with God for a long period of time understands that our journey is punctuated by peaks and valleys. Emotional highs and lows are natural. And whether you've been a Christ follower for several months or several decades, it requires deliberate effort to maintain a spirit of excitement about your faith. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues his study in Joshua chapter 1. In this passage, we witness the transfer of leadership from one generation to the next, from Moses to Joshua. In this epic transition, Chuck will identify several keys for sustaining enthusiasm.
All of that first generation of people died. Disciplined by God, died in the wilderness, and for 40 years, Moses preached one funeral service after another. The path was strewn with the litter of cadavers, as all of these jaded, cynical followers of Moses lost their heart. Look at what happened to them. These things happened as a warning so that we would not, what, crave evil things as they did. Evil things? I thought they were in the midst of a miracle. They craved evil things because they got tired of miracles. They got tired of all that same stuff. Or the worship of idols as some of them did. You know what? They turned to idols, for goodness sake. These people became idolaters. They built a golden calf. And they worshiped the calf. If that wasn't bad enough, in the midst of it, they celebrated, feasted, and drank too much, and some of them even engaged, verse 8, in sexual immorality. How come people do that? They're bored. They've lost the awe of God. How come pastors have affairs? They've lost the awe of God. And a brand new generation arose, children of these moms and dads who were taken. Now, when you go from 1 Corinthians 10 to Joshua 1, turn quickly, Joshua 1, you meet up with the new generation. Okay? Here's a brand new generation of people. These are all folks that are really relatively young adults, all the way down to little children. Their moms and dads are all dead. To make matters even more interesting, Moses is dead. So Moses is gone. There's a brand new leader named Joshua who has the task not of being Moses. There was only one Moses. He now has to lead these people as Joshua. And so the Lord calls him to the side and says, Joshua, listen to me. I got some stuff I want to tell you, and I don't want you to ever forget it, or you'll lose your enthusiasm like they did. So the first thing he verifies is Moses is dead. He won't speak to you at night. He won't visit with you in the morning. There's no skywriting. Moses, gone. You're on. Now Joshua, here's what you do as I charge you to stay engaged. As you make the journey from here into the promised land where you will be fighting the Canaanites, mean as a bunch of junkyard dogs, hard to deal with, idolatrous, filthy in their morals. You'll have to deal with all of the stuff they've written on their walls and all the pornography that is a part of their lifestyle. You're going to have to invade that land, clean it out, and occupy it. You'll live in homes they built. You'll eat from trees they planted and vineyards they planted. You'll drink from cisterns they've dug. You'll have model homes. But if you're not careful, you're going to be just like that former generation. You're going to lose your enthusiasm. This is straight talk. Strong medicine, huh? You need it. I need it. Every seminary student I know needs it. I want to grab some of them by the collar and shake them and remind them of the privilege that is theirs to sit in this classroom before this professor, to drink in these truths that the great majority of the world, in fact, most of all of them in the third world, would just love to have that position at that school. It's boredom. This is all given to warn us. Don't go there. I warn you as we go through this series of messages. If you're not careful, it's just another series. Another bunch of talks Chuck put together. It's just different verses from the Bible. No. No. It's truth to live by. It's designed not to entertain you or just feed information for you to put into your notes. This is to change your life. Look at that list. Overcoming failure, never quitting, thinking biblically, demonstrating wisdom, taking responsibility, standing alone, respecting authority, cultivating humility, studying hard, modeling integrity, extending grace, encouraging others. That isn't just run-of-the-mill stuff. But without enthusiasm, it sort of falls flat. This isn't for some ancient Hebrew or even a Hebrew who lived in Joshua's day. This passage has your name written all over it, especially, be honest now, if you've begun to yawn a little more than usual, gotten a little cynical, no longer bother to carry a Bible. I mean, how elementary can you get having to carry a Bible? Really, I wouldn't go anywhere without it if it's my turn to speak. I haven't got anything to say without it. It's my life. I got to have it. It's like water from the rock. Ralph Waldo Emerson never spoke stronger words than when he wrote, "Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm." The reason you listen when I preach is because I am filled with enthusiasm. And it isn't fake. Sunday after Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, there is this passion that pours out. Why? I'm enthusiastic about it. My life was changed the previous week. I took those 19 steps and I sat in that study and I poured over the things that would guide me into the truth that I should deliver, and then I deliver it because I believe it. It works. It'll change your life too, but if you're not careful, it's just another long sermon on some other religious talk. God never wanted that to happen to the next generation. That's why Joshua chapter 1 speaks with such power. Joshua, listen to me. Here's what you got to do, man. Four things. And they're all right here in the text. I don't make this stuff up. I don't have to. My stuff stinks compared to this great stuff here. Look at verse 6, down through the end of verse 9. Here we go. Four directions to keep from losing your enthusiasm. Number one, be strong within and courageous without. Be strong within and courageous without. That speaks of conviction. That speaks of determination. That represents discipline. Be strong down inside, Swindoll. Be strong. Don't hang on the fact you've been doing this all these years. Don't get hung up on how old you are or how easy you may be able to do some things and others. That's not important. That's not even relevant. I could take your voice in one moment and you have nothing more to say. You be strong down inside. You're going to face some tough challenges, folks, in the 21st century. You ain't seen nothing yet. They're going to come after the church like you can't believe. You better be strong, and you got to be courageous. If you are not, you will yield. You'll fall in rank with the majority, which has rarely, if ever, been right. Be strong and courageous. Look how many times he says it. Verse 6, mark that. Verse 7, be strong, very courageous. Verse 9, be strong and courageous. Verse 18 ends with, so be strong and courageous. Say, well, he's already said that. That's right. You missed it the first three times. Maybe the fourth time it'll land in your head. I'm talking to you, mom, dad, single parent, single adult, older gentlemen, ladies, teenagers. Be strong. Be courageous. Stand up and be counted. Second, notice carefully right here in the text, be careful. Be careful to what? Look at verse 7. Be strong, very courageous. Be careful to what? To obey all the instructions Moses gave you. When you do that, you won't lose enthusiasm. Don't miss any of it. You see, Moses' instructions were not suggestions. They weren't, they were 10 commandments, not 10 pretty good ideas, where you may like number 2, 5, 7, and 10. That's not an option. You take all 10 of them. You believe them. You deliver them with your words, and you deliver them with your mouth. Be careful to obey all of it. In fact, look at what it says. Do not deviate, turning to either the right or the left. Then you'll be successful in everything you do. Joshua, you want to be a successful leader? There's the answer. Do it. Do it. There's no other option. And it'll take all kinds of strength and courage. It'll take all kinds of obedience because you're going to move into Canaan. You stay with them. You look at them. You let them penetrate your brain. And you obey all the instructions. I love the way this reads in this text. Do not deviate from them, turning to the left or to the right. Why does he say that? Because we like changing lanes. I do it all the time. Driving along and I start, oh, look at that. Same thing goes, oh, turn. Now get back on the lane. Get on the lane. You know, sometimes my car beeps. Beep, 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 beep. You get too close. Why? Because I'm getting out of the lane. Stay in the lane. What's the lane? Truth. Truth. What you will never hear about in our post-Christian culture. Truth. Guide your life by the truth. Stay in the lane. Don't shift from one side to the other. And once you're in the lane, look at the third one. Study and meditate. See the way it says it? Study the book. Verse 8. Study the book of instruction continually. Okay, it's a little less television. It's a little more study. It's a little less fiddling around and sleeping the afternoon away, and it's a little more study. And after you've done the study, he adds, and meditate day and night. So I got to thinking, sitting in my study, 19 steps above first floor, how do I do this? All right, and I got an illustration. It's like fixing a great meal if you love to cook. You start with a recipe, okay? The recipe lists things that you have to pick up from the store, okay? You go to the store, you find them, you pay for them, you bring them home, you prepare them like the recipe says, because that's all part of preparing the meal, okay? Now then, the great part comes when you chew it and taste it and swallow it and digest it and get nourishment from it. And a great meal pays off because it was prepared carefully and is now enjoyed. The study part is the recipe and the things you buy and the things you prepare. That's the work of it. You work on it. You work on it. I put my tail in my chair every week, and I do not lift my tail out of my chair until I have produced something in my study. And it's original stuff. It's stuff that I dig out. I find in the text, and I prepare it carefully, and then I lay it in front of you for you to take, and then you begin to chew on it and meditate and digest it and nourish it. Hopefully it'll change your life, and you won't be like that Christian leader who says, you know, I'm not excited about anything anymore. Really? I'm really sorry to hear that. If I hear a seminary student say that, I'm going to tell him to quit for a while. Get out. Till you get your heart right. If I meet a minister who tells me something like that, I say, why don't you do something else for a while? You're not doing a whole lot of good doing what you're doing. Emerson's great words come back to me. Nothing great was ever accomplished without enthusiasm. Without enthusiasm. What is it that draws you to this church, among other things? Why do you sit and listen like you do so carefully and so well and for so long? Because you're hearing someone who is enthusiastic about the truth. I would die for it. I would stand up against anybody for the truth. And that kind of enthusiasm is contagious. Joshua would take that baton from Moses. Got it. Run with it. As you run with it, you be sure you pass it off to the next person. And I got it, Joshua. I'm running with it. Before I'm finished, I pass it on to someone else, and I run the race with enthusiasm. I don't dare let it wane, because when I do, the stalker comes and says, Twindle, take it easy, man. Hang out. You do this in your sleep. They won't know the difference if you don't study. I'll know the difference. And it won't be long before you'll know the difference. Because you'll hear me commit plagiarism as I steal from somebody else's sermon since I'm too lazy to dig it out for myself. Enthusiasm keeps me at it and will keep you at it. Be careful. Study. Meditate. In the last verse, do not be afraid or discouraged. Why? Because you're not alone. Look at what he says. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. I'm not worried about a knock at the door. I don't care what some authority says in the government. I don't guide my life by that. That's not for me to concern myself with. What I'm doing is walking carefully with God regardless. And you know what happens, by the way, if I could just put it straight? Before long, you are willing to leave the results with God. I don't think I've ever counted the number of people that come and go or how large the crowd is. A lot of my staff will tell you, I never mention size of the congregation. Junior on Hee Haw used to say, if size meant anything, a cow could outrun a rabbit. So size doesn't mean a whole lot. I quote great sources, by the way. Among them is Junior on Hee Haw. And before long, you know what? You'll stop comparing. You'll stop taking your cues with what other people are doing, what other churches are doing. I don't care what other churches are doing. I'm not involved in other churches. I'm leading this one. I don't take my cues from how most of them are doing what they do. I'm enthusiastic about the original work we're doing here. And I am exhausted with delight because of it. This past week, I read of an incident that actually occurred back when the Dallas Cowboys used to win games. And then they would go on and win their district or their division. And sometime they'd go to the Super Bowl and win that. Gene Stallings mentioned this when he was defensive backfield coach for the Cowboys. Two all-pro players, defensive backs, Charlie Waters, Cliff Harris, names that sports fans here and around the country know. Charlie and Cliff were sitting in front of their lockers completely exhausted after playing a tough game against their longtime rivals, the Washington Redskins. Love this story. They're still sitting there in their dirty, sweaty uniforms as the other guys are starting to change and take showers. They're just sitting there with their heads down in exhaustion. They had given it everything they had in that game against the Redskins. They played with endless energy and great enthusiasm. Finally, Waters looks over at Harris and says, "By the way, Cliff, what was the final score?" Didn't he know? He didn't. Why? He didn't play for the score. He played to give it his all. When you give it your all, there's maximum reward that comes. Give it your best. Hold nothing back. Set your enthusiasm free. Leave the final results with God. That's my advice. And I hope for the rest of my life to model that. But I'm not important in this thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is. That's why he died. He didn't deviate to the left or the right. He went to the cross, gave his life. He could have wiped them out with one word, but he died that sinners might have hope of forgiveness and eternal life. If you've never met Christ, no wonder you're so miserable. No wonder you've lost heart. He'll turn your whole heart around. Bow with me. Oh, Lord God, we realize in the final analysis we will give an account to you of the things that are done in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that as you look over our lives, you will find that we were faithful men and women, that we sustained enthusiasm, that we gave little thought to what the final score was, but we were preoccupied with what we were responsible to do. May we live this game of life like that. May we play it to the fullest. And find us at the end of the race, exhausted, but filled with enthusiasm and gratitude that you kept us in it. May we all realize the value of truth. And the truth that's been given to change our lives, not simply fill our heads or prepare us for some talk we're going to give later on. May we see these truths as life-changing. May they guide us when the bottom drops out of our life, when society moves to the left, when our world loses its moorings. May we turn to your word to find direction and guidance, and may strength come from that source. May I speak for you when I deliver your message, and for none other. May it bring honor to your name. Father, in the name of Christ, all of us pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled Sustaining Enthusiasm. It's the first message in a new series called Wise Counsel for Troubled Times. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. It's possible you're going through a tough season right now, and you're craving the kind of spiritual enthusiasm Chuck described today. Spend a little time watching the news reports, and it's easy to become filled with fear. Our world is in chaos. Well, let me point you to a book he's written that will encourage you. It's called Finding God When the World's on Fire. In this brief, hardbound book, Chuck explains how to sustain your enthusiasm no matter what trials come your way. Look for Finding God When the World's on Fire when you go to insight.org/offer. And then when you personally engage as a financial partner with Insight for Living, you're becoming an agent of God's grace. Your gift enables us to bring a glimmer of hope to someone whose world perhaps feels like it's spinning out of control. If you're among those who are a part of our family of monthly supporters, or if you've given generous one-time gifts to Insight for Living, I can assure you that you're making an impact. I recently saw a brief heart-wrenching note from a woman who said, "Mr. Swindoll, because you shared God's wisdom, I saw and chose the benefit of not becoming bitter when my husband of 37 years died. Thank you." To help deliver this kind of hope to those who desperately need encouragement, Sign up as a monthly companion of grace. Simply go online to insight.org/monthly companion or call this number 1-800-772-8888. To give a one-time gift, go online to insight.org.
There's an easy and effective way to leverage your support of Chuck Swindoll's ministry. Become a monthly companion.
You know, for me, it was an easy decision. I've gotten far more from Insight for Living than I'll ever be able to give back. So signing up was an easy choice.
Sign up today. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888.
It makes me happy to know that my gift is actually helping someone get in touch with God's grace.
In this hostile, me-first world, people are craving just one gentle whiff of God's goodness and grace. And when we respond today, our simple act of generosity will be transformed into that irresistible, sweet aroma of grace for someone we may never meet this side of eternity.
Do for some unsuspecting person what someone once did for you. Become a monthly companion. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Be sure to listen tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll begins a message on overcoming failure. That's Wednesday, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Sustaining Enthusiasm, was copyrighted in 2013, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.